What's going on, everybody? It is Chris Aiken from the Classic Metal Show and Aftershocks TV. And before we get to this next episode, I just wanted to remind you that I have a book out there called And Other Things I Should Not Say. It is about the absolute debauchery that raged in my world when I was stationed overseas in Korea, as well as a little bit of Arizona and some basic training and AIT stories as well. It's kind of my military book. It is wild, friends. I'm going to tell you now, it is definitely not biblical reading. So make sure you go over and get it. It's on Amazon.com or my website, Chris Aiken Books, and Other Things I Should Not Say. Get it now if you're bold enough to dare, all right? All right, here's the episode you actually came to see.
It's Guns N' Roses from their Appetite for Destruction release with the Rocket Queen. Now, Chris, I know that you like that album, as most people do, since it only sold 20 million copies.
Right.
What is your favorite song on that record?
Probably Out to Get Me.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that one.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think Rocket Queen is probably my favorite.
It's a good, I mean, they're all good ones. There's really, I mean, honestly, my least favorite is Sweet Child, you know, and I didn't like it before it became the overplayed thing that it became. I didn't like it. I remember even hearing the album for the first time when I picked up the tape, you know, after seeing them open for Motley.
When you picked up the tape, did you mean like lift it from Gold Circle or?
No, I bought that one at that point. At that point, I was already in the military, so I was afraid of getting arrested. So, you know, although I did end up getting arrested, ironically, I got arrested on that same visit home from leave. So, but yeah, I actually purchased it, and I remember playing it. I was like, you know, and I remember the song. They opened with Sweet Child, or that was the first song I heard. I might have walked in late and been hammered. I don't remember, but... But, you know, the first song I heard of Guns N' Roses was Sweet Child.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, that took MTV by storm.
It was before MTV, though. It was before, because that album was a dog for about a year.
Yeah, it took a year before it actually caught fire.
Mm-hmm. And I just remember I saw Guns N' Roses when I was home on leave once with Motley. They were opening for Motley. And the first song I remember hearing was Sweet Child. And I was like, who are these fucking hacks? but then all of a sudden it kicked in and got heavy and was like, ooh, this is more my speed.
Yeah.
And then they wiped Motley Crue right off the fucking, right out of the room, because I think Motley was touring on shitty Girls, Girls, Girls album, which shitty album. They were all fucked out of their mind and they weren't very good live. So yeah, it wasn't, they got blown out of the water by Guns N' Roses. So.
Yeah. All right. I'm thinking for me personally, it's Rocket Queen.
It's a good tune.
I love that song, you know.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I don't really, is there one that you really, really
that album is great from beginning to end.
Yeah. I mean, there's, like I said, my least favorite is Sweet Child, but it's certainly not turn off the radio and never listen to them again sounding.
Sure. You
know? It's definitely an okay song. Yeah, I mean, such a weird career they've had, because they really, that was it. I mean, they had a ton of success from Use Your Illusion. I mean, just a ton of success. But I don't even think with the biggest hits from Use Your Illusion, people don't ever name those as like their favorites.
Well, yeah, and I agree. And I think we've made this point before that they have had a 30 plus year career.
Mm-hmm.
One album. I mean, obviously, yeah. Use Your Illusion was a two CD set. It might as well have been two separate albums,
right?
But for the most part, they've had a career and are able to sell stadiums. Here we are. Appetite came out 1987.
Yeah, so 35 years roughly.
Yeah, 35 years on basically three studio records.
Mm-hmm. And I'll always go back to, when you pick up the hits from Use Your Illusions, nobody lists those as their favorites.
You know,
nobody's picking November Rain or Civil War or, and these are good songs. Again, they're good songs. I mean, A Strange and Coma are great songs. Those would be about the only two that I would take over into the great range would be Estranged and Coma.
See, but, one of my favorite is Dead Horse too.
See, that's an okay. I don't know. It's okay. I like the part where he goes, whoa!
Exactly.
You know, I like that part. You know, I don't know. Use Your Illusions was kind of a, you could turn that into one album.
Yeah, if you wanted to cut it down, yeah, of course, yeah. It'd be one good long album.
Yeah, one good probably 12, 13 song album, you know. But, I mean, some of the songs were clearly half an ideas, you know, that they didn't, like, Double Talk and Jive. As much as I like that, that's a cool little three-minute shuffle or whatever it is. That's just a song idea that they couldn't figure out how to finish, so they just left it there. pull that up real quick. Double Talk and Jive, and just play the last 30 seconds. They literally just run out of idea and they just fade it out.
Yeah. Double Talk and Jive, motherfucker.
I mean, it's a cool song, but it just, you could tell they just didn't have the rest of the song or they couldn't figure it out. So they just said, ah, fuck, we're going to just throw it on there.
Well, I agree. And the thing is what's amazing is that even to this day, mm-hmm. Scheduled what I think in September or October this year, this in 2021, mm-hmm. they've got like a 5 or 6 stadium tour date in Australia.
Yeah. I mean, they're huge off of one. I mean, that's how impactful that record was. I mean, and I guess you got to really look at the time and think 88. I mean, what was their competition? Poison, Warrant, Alias, Slaughter.
Slaughter didn't even hit till 90, I don't think.
So it would have been what? Poison and Warrant and
Poison and Warrant and maybe Rat.
Damn Yankees.
I don't know. Did Damn Yankees come out in 88?
I don't remember.
I think it was like 89.
Yeah.
And 90, I think that they were in the very end of the 90s or 80s into the very early part of the 90s.
Yeah. My point is that Guns N' Roses did not have a lot of competition. And I'm not saying that makes the record any less awesome. It's still an awesome record, but by comparison, they really didn't have a lot of competition. You know, I mean, Motley Crue put out what I still think is the worst album of the heyday, which is Girls, Girls, Girls. That album's just a bag of shit. I'll fight anybody on that one. You know, that album sucks. And what else? I mean, what else was big at the time? I know Poison was big at the time. That would have been what? Open Up, which was a letdown from the first album for most people. Warrant was just debuting.
I don't think Warrant even debuted. I don't think they debuted until 89.
So what would it have been? New Jersey? Bon Jovi, New Jersey?
Probably. Yes.
And that was big. Def Leppard, Hysteria. I guess that was a big one. That was a big one, but I can't imagine the chicks that like Def Leppard were also liking Guns N' Roses a lot. I don't know. Whitesnake, good point. Whitesnake, Still the Night. You know, that was right around that time.
Yeah, that came out in 87, but it had a long shelf life for, mm-hmm. you know, because they kept releasing singles from that.
Right. Was Long Cold Winter in that era?
Yes. I believe that was 88.
All right. Long Cold Winter or GNR?
That's GNR.
Yeah, I'd probably take GNR, but it's not as wide of a berth as you might expect. I thought Long Cold Winter was a damn near perfect album.
Yeah, it's a great record. It's my favorite, definitely my favorite Cinderella record.
Me too.
All right. Well, I've got 35 seconds worth of Double Talking Jive.
Yeah. Just listen to how it ends. They just faded out because they didn't have anything else to fucking finish the song with.
All right. Here we go.
Hold on a minute, Neely. Go back like 25 more seconds to where they just, because they just fade into this flamenco bullshit.
All right, well, let's go. I'm at a minute.
That should be good.
All right, here we go.
See?
Yeah, they could have ended it just fading out of the hard rock and shit, but for whatever reason they ended it with that flamenco guitar.
Or if you listen to the whole song, it was prime for another verse. If you listen to it, they do the thing, and it was ready for another verse, and they just didn't put it in there. It's like they just ran out of steam on that song.
Well, since we're talking about it, we might as well go for it. It's the whole song is only 3 minutes and 23 seconds, and we know the last full minute is just the flamenco guitar. Shit.
Yeah.
So let's play basically 2 minutes of this.
Yeah, let's listen and see if this is a real song or not.
All right, let's hear it. You know, listening to this in the headphones, and I've never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
I never realized the fucky effect.
Oh yeah.
That Axl is singing with the, processed mm-hmm. voice thing that goes on here. And the thing is that the drums are definitely way out front on this.
Mm-hmm.
Way out front.
Yeah.
All right.
I honestly think this is an unfinished song.
It could be. It does sound like a demo.
Yeah.
All right. Double dump dive. You dig what I'm saying, man?
Punk.
All right. I agree with you. I never realized or I never analyzed this song that close.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to this, I'm just like, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's a polished demo.
Yeah, it's just here's something that we put together. We don't know what to do with it, but. Okay,
throw it on there. They do this solo, and in any other song, they would come back with either the chorus again, you know, do the chorus one more time, or they would come back with one more stanza,
yeah,
into the chorus, and then out. Instead, they just run out of ammunition, so they're like, just fuck it, just fade it, and we'll just throw this flamenco bullshit that Slash and Izzy been working on in the back.
All right. Yeah, I agree. Okay. I've never listened to it that close, mm-hmm. but now that I'm hearing this, you know, for the first time in that context, I agree with you. I know you're not a fan of this movie and probably don't give a shit about it, but mm-hmm. this sounds like something that might be in the soundtrack for Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
I mean, it really does. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
All right. And it should have ended right there if they were just going to end it.
Or they should have pulled back 12 bars of that fucking solo and come back with a dun 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 and then have Axel sing.
Yeah, bring it back up again.
Yeah, have Axel. We're back in town once again. And it's fucked up here. Gonna kill my bitch because she's a cunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Back then, double talking, you know, and then just kind of, and then run it out.
Yeah,
run it out with more solo and then fade into the obscure. I don't even like the flamenco thing at the end at all. It's just like,
it's just like a filler. It's like you said, it's just filler. It's just like, okay, well, here's something we were just kind of plinking around with. Just throw that on there.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that sounds like something Penelope Cruz might be dancing to in From Dusk Till Dawn or something.
Right, exactly. In some broke dick bar with like two people in it.
Exactly.
Dusty.
Get it.
2 a.m, broken jukebox with a broken piece of glass over it. She's just slithering away on it.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. I never listened to that in that context before, but. You know, now that I'm hearing it in the headphones, I agree with you. It's just like a piece of a song, just kind of like just thrown together with just some acoustic ending.
Yeah. And I like it, you know, and that's the weird thing is I like it, but it always bugged me because it always felt like half a fucking song. I was always like, where's the rest of this shit?
Yeah, I get it. All right. Well, speaking of where's the rest of this shit?
Okay.
Something near and dear to your heart, something that you were very excited about, finally came to fruition this week.
What's that?
Did you watch Coming to America 2?
I did.
All right. Let's talk about this because I've actually gotten a couple of requests about this.
Okay. Did you watch it?
I did.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to just flat out give you my opinion right off the top. I want to analyze it, but I definitely have some thoughts about this.
Okay.
When did you watch it? Did you watch it as soon as it was available?
Watched it the day before release day when they released it early.
All right. Well, I know you and I had spoken about, you know, we talked about this, like, I think 6 months ago or so, that when it was announced that there was going to be a Coming to America 2.
Yeah.
We kind of broke it down and analyzed it, who's going to be participating in the movie and the return of some of the characters that made up the original movie 30 years ago.
Sure.
And I know you were really excited, and I know, you know, I went back and listened, and I was very skeptical about the whole thing.
Sure.
But we discussed at length who was going to be in the movie, who was going to be returning, and I would say that 90% of the cast, 95% of the cast had returned to Coming to America.
Yeah, the only noticeable guy that did not return was Eric LaSalle, that played Soul Glow guy.
Yes.
Whatever his name, I don't remember what his name was on the movie, but he was Soul Glow guy.
Yeah. He was the boyfriend, the former boyfriend that, Eddie Murphy took her away from him.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, since you know, obviously a lot of people love that movie. Obviously it's a staple in the American film industry you know, it's a pop culture movie that made a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably anybody in our age would know about Coming to America.
Sure.
Because Eddie Murphy was at the top of his game at the time that this video or this movie was made.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it made an impact. So here we are 30 years later.
Right.
And there's this the sequel to it.
Okay.
So being that you were the one who kind of spearheaded the excitement about the fact that they were making a sequel to this.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you give your thoughts on Coming to America.
Sure. Well, as you said, I was totally excited about
it. You were stoked because we ran down the list of people who agreed to sign on to the sequel.
Yeah, I was pumped. It is one of the original is one of my, I would say, top five comedies of all time. It's one I own. I actually, me who never buys movies, I own that movie. I've watched it probably every bit as many times as I've watched The Godfather.
Okay.
I mean, it is one of my favorite movies. So going in, I was completely excited to the point that I had it already in my playlist on my Amazon Prime. And I was ready for it to come out. And
well, I know that because we talked about it on the show.
Yeah. And when I saw that it popped up, it was supposed to release Friday and it popped up on Thursday on my Amazon stick. So I just clicked it to see if it was just a new trailer because it had a different graphic. And I clicked it and it was like, oh shit, it's the fucking movie. So I was like, all right, I'm done working. And I literally switched from living room to bedroom with a bag of popcorn, went, sat down, was like, all right, time to settle in for greatness. I was ready for this great movie. And I'm still ready for a great movie because it,
all right.
It's funny because I had people all weekend because a lot of people heard that segment. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of people asking me about it.
Yeah. Because you were really just like, yeah, I'm all in, you know, James Earl Jones is returning and obviously Arsenio Hall and, you know, obviously the main star, Eddie Murphy and, you know, so many people who were even Louis Anderson, who played a bit part.
And John Amos was back.
Part of this. And it's like, oh man, this is going to be fantastic. And I'm all in, man, I'm going to see this and
And I didn't hate it as much as most people that I've talked to did.
Well, let's not go by what most people.
I'm just saying a lot of people have said that to me that they didn't like it.
Well, I want to go with your initial.
Okay, and I'm getting there. I did not hate it, but I did not love it either. I thought the screenplay was absolute dog shit. It just literally, they spent way too much time wedging in the old shit. The story is the same as the first one. It's damn near the same story. So no time was put in writing this fucking thing. And I hated all the social justice shit that was wedged in everywhere. I fucking couldn't stand that. I did not like that the only white guy that we got to see in the movie was the dummy, you know, and from everything I've read, Eddie Murphy didn't even want him in the movie. He only wanted Louis Anderson because he was in the first one. He didn't want the HR guy.
Yeah, well, the grandson of
the rich guy. Grandson of the rich guy.
Yeah, the guys from Trading Places.
Right. So he wrote that guy to be a bigoted dick, you know, just a shit on the white guy. So I hated that. The kid And I'm just going to tell people now, if you still haven't seen this movie, stop watching, and you plan to stop watching or listening, because I'm going to talk about the fucking movie. I'm not going to dance around it with some goddamn.
It's been out a week.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan or want to see it, you probably saw it already.
And if you haven't, we're going to spoil it. So
yeah, again, we're a week out already. Yeah. So if you haven't taken the time to watch 100 minutes of this bullshit, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to give my opinion. If you haven't taken 100 minutes out of your day to watch this yet, you deserve all the spoilers that we're going to throw in here.
Right. So deal with it. I hated the acting from the kid, the Lavelle or whatever his name was. Lavelle.
Yes.
I can act better than that dude. I could have played a black man better than that dude. He was god awful. I mean, fucking terrible.
Okay.
And to be honest, I didn't think Eddie Murphy was very good in this movie either. I really did not think he was very good. I keep reading online everywhere where they keep celebrating the performance of Wesley Snipes. And I thought Wesley Snipes sucked in this movie too. With that dumb accent that doesn't sound like anything, and I thought it was stupid. There were some laugh parts. I'm not gonna lie, I laughed. I laughed at the beginning of the movie when they did the whole "I'm gonna have my funeral before I die" thing. I thought that was kind of funny. And I thought it was funny when he actually did die, how he just kind of faded out. I thought that was kind of funny, you know. And I got a good laugh at the end, at the very end of the movie when they said, you know, he's bigger than this and he's bigger than that. It's Randy Watson. I did laugh at that part when Randy Watson came out and did his thing. And the guys from the barbershop were there, and they were all, and the one guy was like, "Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, not this fucking tool bag." You know, I laughed at that. The movie itself, it just was dumb. You know, the whole, you got to go cut the whiskers off a fucking, what? And he just had that box, and the thing couldn't bite through the box, and he cut the whisk. The whole thing, that all was stupid. I didn't give two fucks about the daughters. And truthfully, there's too many characters. I couldn't keep track of the characters. Like, you know, the scene where he was walking through the palace or whatever, and he was trying to get some pussy. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. Where the son? Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was a daughter. I thought he was trying to bang Eddie Murphy's daughter, which was his sister. Well,
she was a hairdresser.
Yeah. I got that later, but
they all look the same.
Yeah. So at first I thought he was trying to bang his own sister.
Well, and I agree. I completely agree with you that the hairdresser, she did look like any one of the daughters.
Yeah. And they didn't do a good job of identifying who anybody was. First of all, they didn't do any job of identifying who this fucking hairdresser was. And then they, you know, even the daughters, the introduction to the daughters was completely in passing. You know, it was like, oh, here's this one and here's that one. And then here's the other one. So, you know, it just, I don't know. I didn't hate it. Am I going to watch it again? Probably not. Am I going to buy it? Definitely not. You know, I like I said, I got a few laughs out of it, not 100 minutes worth. Maybe 1 minute's worth. And I thought the acting was bad. You know, I did enjoy, and you're going to probably shit on this, but I enjoyed Arsenio Hall. I love the semi character, and I love the character that he plays in the barbershop as well. And I love the preacher character that he plays. The preacher character did make me laugh when they were in the church and Eddie came in, stop. And he was doing that voice. You know, he's doing the preacher voice. That did make me laugh. But yeah, if I was giving it a number, 3.5 out of 10.
All right.
That's my quick review.
All right. Well, here's my review.
All right.
I had zero laughs.
Really?
I did not laugh once. I found absolutely no humor in this at all. None.
Really?
I didn't even find anything remotely funny.
All right.
Not even remotely. Nothing to even make me just kind of even chuckle a little bit. I was just hoping that there might be something redeeming about this movie, and I did not even got one even smile on my face, let alone a laugh.
That's hilarious.
Nothing. And, you know, here's the thing. It's called Coming to America.
Yeah.
There was maybe 5 minutes worth of Coming to America.
Yeah.
He came to America to try to find his son. Mm-hmm. And then he came back again to try to locate him after he ran away from Zamunda.
After he stole the private golden jet.
Yeah. And that was it.
Yeah.
So that part was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Because everything happened in the African land of Zamunda.
Yeah.
All right. So that kind of was stupid.
Right.
The only, I'll save my complimentary comments to the end.
Okay.
The one thing that one of the biggest things that I did not like about this movie, mm-hmm, is that all the men, that would be Simi, that would be Arsenio Hall, that would be Eddie Murphy. Mm-hmm. They're all just a bunch of weak cucks.
Yeah. Bothered me too.
They're just dominated by their women. Mm-hmm. Eddie Murphy's wife, who came from Brooklyn, who she was nothing but a daughter of a fake fast food owner.
Right.
She's now the queen of Zamunda or whatever.
Right.
And she acts like she's holier than thou.
Right.
Without the fact that Eddie Murphy came to Brooklyn and found her, mm-hmm, she would be just a ghetto whore like the rest of them. in all seriousness, that's the truth. Now, the fact here's the thing that they held themselves up as royalty, this Simi and, you know, Arsenio Hall, and of course, yeah, Murphy. They were all this proper high society, you know, right, rich leaders of this country. Mm-hmm. And then they go back to Brooklyn, find his son and his mother.
Yeah.
And they bring him back and her back to Zamunda.
Yeah.
And they are loud ghetto people, just loud, disrespectful. They're the ones who talk in the movie theaters,
right?
You know, they're just uncouth people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost as if they celebrate that in this movie.
Yeah.
It's just like these people are just, And again, this goes back to a lot of the discussion we've had on the show over the many years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about race. Yeah. It's about behavior.
Right.
Their behavior in this movie is just atrocious.
Oh, yeah.
You know, atrocious. Just ghetto trash, you know, ghetto slum people, yeah, you know. You go, girl. You know, that bullshit.
And let's get fucked up and, you know, and not act royal. That, you know, that's the ghetto. Instead of the ghetto girl trying to be somewhat regal at a party, she convinces the queen to be a ghetto whore again.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you that's know, like the cool thing.
No. And so that was shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, this kid, he has to bring his uncle, which is, you know, which is portrayed by what's that guy's name?
Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, Tracy Morgan. He can't learn, you know, this kid is supposedly the heir to the throne,
mm-hmm,
but he has to go get his ghetto uncle to teach him how to do all this walking and shit.
Yeah. to do pimp walk, because he can't adjust to being any bit regal. He's got to do the pimp walk.
Yeah, of course. And then when this prince, before he's going to go interview with a company, mm-hmm. his uncle Tracy Morgan, he goes, don't do the white speak.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Don't speak white like a white person, i.e. don't speak proper.
Right.
Maintain your ghetto roots, boy.
Yeah.
It's like this is the problem. This is a problem. And, mm-hmm. and the thing is that this Eddie Murphy, he's out there doing martial arts with his daughters. Right. And they're kicking his ass all over the place, and they're just like superior. Mm-hmm. And then because of the because of the misunderstanding with Eddie not remembering that he has a son, his wife kicks him out of the bedroom.
Yeah, that was annoying.
Yeah, this guy is the heir to the throne of Zamunda.
Yeah.
And he brings this ghetto trash from Brooklyn to be his wife, and now she's ruling the roost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was annoying. You cannot throw me out of the royal quarter. Yeah, shut up.
Fuck you. This is my palace. Go back to Brooklyn, you whore.
Yeah.
You cheeseburger flipping whore.
Yeah, go work with your dad, you bitch.
Yeah. So those are the kind of things that I look at. It's just like, why in the fuck? But here's really my, to break it down to the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
This is the movie of empowered women.
Yeah.
That's all it was about. And it's just like Eddie Murphy used to be the most edgy comic out there next to mm-hmm. Sam Kinison.
Yeah.
And now he's the biggest cuck in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with this release of this movie, because there was nothing edgy about this movie. It wasn't funny. Yeah. There was nothing edgy about it. There was no adult humor at all. It was PG rated. Mm-hmm. This had no resemblance to a movie that was filmed 30 years ago. Yeah. Nothing.
Just the characters that you recognize.
Yeah,
that's it. The only resemblance it had was like the barbershop guys.
Well, see, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was my only compliment about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
The makeup artists that were able to recreate the barbershop guys and the preacher, mm-hmm. and remake Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall into the alternate characters that they were.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only redeeming thing about this movie, that they did such a great job at recreating those characters again.
Right.
The movie, fucking shit. The content, shit. The humor, none at all. The sterilization of the humor, none at all. Nothing. This was a piece of garbage from beginning to end. I sat there and watched this, and I go, I didn't even laugh once. There was nothing funny about this movie at all. And Wesley Snipes, Blade? Are you shitting me? This guy got his ass kicked by an 18-year-old girl.
Yeah. Well, so did his whole army, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I know. And so, it's women power. Women power. And fuck that. I am so sick of this bullshit. Yeah, for Eddie Murphy, who used to be the edgiest comic out there in Raw,
mm-hmm, delirious.
And to sit there and go, okay, I was away for two weeks, and you think we could maybe fuck that? Get out of my room. Okay, honey, whatever you say. Yeah. It's like, fuck you.
You know what part bothered me probably the most in the movie? Then that scene bothered me to no end. That this guy that's worth like a gazillion dollars is letting his fucking bitch wife tell him to get out of the fucking room
and withhold pussy from him.
Yeah, fuck you. I'm gonna go fuck every one of the goddamn chicks that wash my balls in the morning.
Exactly.
That part bothered me, but the part that bothered me the most was Eddie Murphy was so afraid of Wesley Snipes and Wesley Snipes people overtaking his kingdom in Zamunda, right?
Yeah. Eddie Murphy.
Well, hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
But when it came down to actually fighting those people, Semi got his ass beat for a while, and it was the three daughters that beat up the whole army and Wesley Snipes.
That's my point. That's exactly what I was saying.
So Eddie was such a pussy that he needed his daughters to save him, and that bugged me to no fucking end. You know, it was like, in one breath, they're saying that he's got it, that he went out there and fucking tamed a lion and cut a lion's whisker. He got up close enough to a lion to cut his whiskers off. In the next breath, they're saying he's such a pussy that his daughters had to save him from getting his ass kicked. It's fucking terrible.
It is. And not only that, mm-hmm. and the worst part of it all, and this goes back to everything we've been talking about for the last 5 or 6 years, mm-hmm. these boys, and I'm talking about the prince here, he can't go anywhere without his mama. Mama, is it okay if these three naked chicks give me a bath? Mama, you need to go to the kingdom of Zamunda with me. Mama, is it okay? What mm-hmm. the fuck is this?
Yeah, why would you take your mom?
Yeah.
I'm going to be the prince. Fuck that. You can come later.
Yeah.
I'm going to go fucking see what princely things I can get into.
Well, again, it's this liberal propaganda. Women, the men are just shit. They're just little weaklings, and women are just so strong and so powerful. This goes back to all these movies about these superhero characters, that these female superheroes, they just jump in action, and they just take care of everything. And
right.
these men are just little sniveling bitches that just sit in the corner and, mama, take care of that for me.
Well, I take it by this review that you're already lined up and waiting for the already greenlit Coming to America 3.
Fuck that. You know what? It was garbage. And this goes back to everything that I've said over the last 5 or 6 years. These sniveling little mama's boys sitting in the passenger seat of the car while their girlfriends are out there pumping the gas and going into the gas station and buying the snacks while they sit there playing Candy Crush on their phones or Facebooking or whatever in the passenger seat while their girlfriend is out there pumping the gas. You know, fuck that.
It's funny.
I've got a bullet for every one of them fucking assholes. You know, I'm sick of it.
Right.
Sick of it. And this Eddie Murphy, who used to be the most edgy comic in the world, mm-hmm. sitting there going, well, you know, the women should take over. You know, this Arsenio Hall just getting his ass whipped. You know, I can't defend the kingdom while you're away.
Well, I will say this, seeing this movie and seeing the, you know, because Eddie wrote it. So seeing that this is what he's writing now, complete. Remember before we talked about Eddie was talking about going and doing a comedy tour. And I was absolutely like, I will go see it no matter what it would cost. Now, not so sure. I think I probably won't go see it.
Yeah, of course not, because he's just going to sit there. Well, you know, the things that I did back in 88, 89, you know, that was very sexist and very, you know, offensive and hurtful. And
sorry, I don't want the nutty professor, Eddie Murphy. I don't want the clumps guy. I want the fucking Trading Places 48 Hours guy, or Golden Child, or First Coming to America guy.
Or Beverly Hills Cop.
First one.
Yeah.
Not some of the later ones.
No, the Beverly Hills Cop original.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't want this guy. You know, this guy is the, you know, the, what was that other movie he did? The Harlem movie?
Oh, yeah.
Angels of Harlem or something?
Yeah, something like that. Harlem Knights or something.
Harlem Knights, that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want that guy. I certainly don't want this guy. No. Yeah, I'm with, again, I got a couple of laughs. That's why I gave it a 3.5. I'll stick with my 3.5. But yeah, it was definitely a disappointment. It was definitely disappointing. And I won't lie, I'll watch Coming to America 3 the day it comes out.
Really?
Will you? Of course I will. I'm that dummy that is like, well, this will be where he redeems himself. I'm that stupid. I will watch it. I have no doubt in my mind. That's how much I like the first one.
Well, the first one speaks for itself, but holy fuck, was this a disappointment for sure.
Mm-hmm. It was disappointing.
Garbage. Faggots.
It's so funny because I was talking to Matt the other day from Aftershocks, and he's with you. I was talking to him, and he's like, did you watch that fucking movie? Don't. You know, before I could even say yes, I watched it. He was like, don't. It's fucking terrible. And his same exact complaints you have. He was like, fuck that movie and fuck these cuck bitches. You know, it's so funny. A lot of people upset with this movie.
Well, I'm not upset with it, but it was just, it was nothing. It was a, you know, to use a Don Lemon term, it was a nothing burger.
Yeah, it just,
it was nothing.
Yeah.
It wasn't even funny. It wasn't entertaining. There was no funny parts or highlights or nothing in it. Nothing.
Do you think it would have been better if they wouldn't have focused so much in trying to wedge in the old jokes? Because I think that was a big problem. They spent most of the script just trying to wedge in the jokes from the first movie, you know, wedging in the McDowell's that happens to be in Zamunda. And that's where the dad still works at the McDonald's or the McDowell's in Zamunda.
No, I think the problem was, is they downgraded this movie to like a PG movie instead of an R-rated movie. This was an adult movie coming to America. The original.
Mm-hmm.
This was an adult movie.
Yeah.
And they downgraded it to like a PG movie.
Yeah. This is like when Star Wars added the fucking Ewoks and turned it into a kids movie.
Yeah. And that's not funny.
Yeah.
This was meant to be an adult movie. It wasn't something that you should watch with your kids and, right, you know, all this other shit. They had adult humor in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the original one I'm talking
right
about.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was in no way, shape, or form an adult-oriented movie at all.
No. No, it really wasn't. It wasn't a kid movie, but it wasn't an adult movie. It just, you're right, it really didn't have a place. It just was there. It was a preach movie. That's really what it was kind of a preach movie.
Right.
You know, of don't listen to the white man and just listen to women. That's what I heard.
Well, again, it just preaches the current trend that's going on in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, white man bad, women strong, guys are cucks, you know, and just bow down.
So did Eddie just bow to this to get the money, or is this who he is now?
I think this is who he is now. I honestly believe that because I don't think, has Eddie done anything edgy in years?
No, the Dr. Doolittle ruined him when he did that. And it was hugely successful. That was it. Then he did nothing but fucking soft shit movies. He hasn't done shit in decades.
Well, that's kind of the point.
Yeah. I mean, what was the last great Eddie Murphy movie? Golden Child?
No idea.
I can't even remember. Let's see if I can find Eddie Murphy movies real quick. See what he's done. Eddie Murphy movies. Let's see. Eddie Murphy, IMDb filmography. That's perfect. All right. I'm going to go backwards from 2021, Coming to America. No. Dolomite Is My Name. That was okay. I didn't hate that. Mr. Church. I didn't see that. Did you see that?
No.
A Thousand Words.
Nope.
Tower Heist.
Nope.
Nope. Shrek Forever After.
Well, see, that was just a voiceover.
Yeah, but it's kids too. I mean, it has some adult stuff. Like, I've never watched Shrek, so I don't know, to be fair. Imagine That. No.
Nope.
Meet Dave.
Nope.
No, that one. Shrek the Third. Norbit. See that?
Nope.
Dream Girls.
Nope.
Shrek 2. The Haunted Mansion.
No.
Daddy Daycare.
Boy, I wasn't even aware that he did all these things.
Yeah, me either. I Spy.
No.
The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Okay.
Absolutely terrible movie, by the way. Showtime.
Wasn't aware.
Dr. Doolittle 2?
I know of Dr. Doolittle, but I didn't watch any of those movies because to me that was just a stupid premise.
No. Shrek 1. Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
No, see, I'm a fan of the original Jerry Lewis, professor movie.
Sure.
So I wouldn't watch that.
All right, here's a big one. Bowfinger.
I know of it, but didn't watch it.
It's garbage, and it was written by Steve Martin, who's never been funny. Life?
No idea what that is.
Holy Man.
Don't know what that is either.
Dr. Doolittle 1. Mulan, voiceover. How about Metro?
Nope.
Nutty Professor 1. Oh, here's one. Everybody's seen this, of course. Vampire in Brooklyn.
Don't know it.
Okay. And now we'll get into, well, wait a minute, before that. 1994 is the last one that legitimately most people have seen. Beverly Hills Cop 3. Most people have seen that. It wasn't good, but it was better than anything we've listed so far. But this went back from 2021 to 1994 was the last time there was a movie that legitimately a lot of people saw. Jesus. Let's see here. The Distinguished Gentleman.
I know of it, but I never watched it.
Boomerang.
I know of it too, and I never watched it.
I watched Boomerang. Not so great. Another 48 Hours. That was okay. Not the greatest, but it was okay. Harlem Nights. Yeah, not very great. Coming to America 1. 1988. Jesus Christ. Eddie Murphy Raw. And from here, this is all the great ones. The bulk of his good movies in his career are in a 6-year period from 82 to 88. Coming to America, Raw, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Golden Child, Beverly Hills Cop 1, Best Defense, which was lousy. Ooh. Trading Places, and 48 Hours. That's the only good period in his career.
All right.
He's literally been a dud since 1988.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah. Just garbage. Oh my God. That's just sad.
Well, again, I don't know why he felt necessary to revisit the whole Coming to America. I don't know if there was a big money, offer there or whatever, but it was garbage.
I'm sure Amazon paid him well to do it. Because Amazon trying to compete right now with Netflix and HBO.
Well, I understand that part, trying to, getting into the movie business in the new environment that we're in,
where
people are not going out to theaters per se.
Right.
And I get that, but boy, garbage.
Yeah, has not done much. All right, well, apparently I'll be alone watching Coming to America 3.
So are you serious that
serious? It's been greenlit.
Wow.
It's been greenlit for production.
All right. All right. I only have one word for Coming to America 2.
Okay.
Disappointed.
That's it.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. All right. Well, being that this was your movie release for 2021, mm-hmm. so far, I'm going to let you pick a tune and take us out of the segment, and we'll come back and we'll wrap up the show.
All right. How about, since you were thinking about it from the minute it started, how about if we go with Anthrax with Think About an End? From We've Come For You All.
All right. That's the bookend album.
Yeah. Exactly.
With the John Bush era, which, you know, as you know, I'm a big fan of We've Come For You All, as well as, you know, White Noise or,
Sound of White Noise.
Sound of White Noise. Mm-hmm. So those, in my opinion, strangely enough, for me personally, I know that you like the other John Bush era.
I do.
Releases, but for me, the bookend albums, they were the best.
Yeah, I mean, I would say my favorite is probably White Noise, but I love Stomp. Stomp was real good too. And I just like John Bush. John Bush could sing anything and I'd fucking like it. Honestly, he's that kind of a talent. So, you know, Volume 8, Threat Is Real. It had some good songs. It had some stupid songs on it too. Cup of Joe, garbage. But for the most part, I liked like Piss and Vinegar and stuff like that. Not bad.
Okay.
But anyway, Think About an End. That's a good one.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to play some Anthrax, a couple tunes. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show. So here it is. It's Anthrax exclusively here.
On your class. All right. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it? And you know what else is a lot of fun? The CMS Podcast Network. That's right. CMSPN.com is the address. Make sure you go over there. Make sure you watch the episodes there. You listen to the episodes there. And maybe you even just subscribe so it's delivered to your phone, to whatever podcasting software you use. But do it from CMSPN.com. Once again, CMSPN.com, CMSPN.com, CMSPN.com. We'll see you next time, fucks.